Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Welcome to 4-H4U, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension. I'm Greg Allen, your host, and today we're diving into the world of 4-H, one of America's largest youth development organizations, empowering over 6 million young people across the country. But 4-H is more than just cows and cooking and county fairs. It's a movement grounded in positive youth development. And at the heart of it is the 4-H Thrive model, a powerful framework that helps young people discover their spark, build a growth mindset, and thrive in every area of life. And it's the very topic we'll be discussing on today's episode of 4-H for You. The 4-H Thrive model is a science-backed approach to positive youth development, or PYD. It focuses on helping young people reach their full potential. It combines elements of psychology, education, and social-emotional learning to guide how 4-H programs are designed and delivered. So whether you're a 4-H alum, a curious parent, a volunteer, or someone passionate about youth empowerment, this episode is 4-H for you. Get it? Let's explore how 4-H is growing leaders, strengthening communities, and helping the next generation thrive. I'm excited to have the 4-H Thrive Champion Team with me today, Carla Kidwell, Malia Huffman, and Kathleen, is it Bodie?
It is Bodie, yes.
Yes! Nailed it. All right, so let's just go down the line. We'll start with Carla. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with 4-H.
My name is Carla Kidwell, and I am a 4-H youth educator in Warwick County, which is a southwestern tip along the Ohio River. I've been a 4-H youth professional for, this is my 26th year.
And Malia?
My name is Malia Huffman. Up until January, I served as a 4-H educator in Greene County. I now work with the director's office with Youth Protection and have worked with these two ladies for years.
And Kathleen.
Yeah, I'm Kathleen Bodie. I'm a 4-H educator in Hamilton County, and I have been an extension for, I believe, 22 years now. So time flies very fast. So I've known these ladies for a long time.
When you're having fun, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. All right. So we're talking today about the Thrive model. Let's talk about a little bit about what it is and then what it is that drove you three to that model.
So the Thrive model is, previous to us using the Thrive model, there were several different things we had to use, and they all had different names of scientific models that used in a lot of education settings and with youth. So what the Thrive model does is it's used the research that we had available from various means and puts it all together. And it's packaged in a way that's pretty specific to 4-H. So it makes it nice to use with our 4-H volunteers and our older youth who are then teaching younger youth. And then we also use it, beginning to use it with stakeholders, and it's a national model. So from state to state, we're all speaking the same language as we talk to state government, local government, and national government.
And how long have you been using this particular model?
It was a pretty slow rollout, and I feel like Indiana was probably one of the first to adopt pretty quickly. So would you say 4 years, Malia?
No, I would say it's probably came out about 5 or 6 years ago, and Indiana firmly adopted it, I would say, within the last 4 years. What I like about it is an incredible model to show the impact of youth development, both from an education standpoint and an education, but also from a volunteer perspective.
Malia, while we're on you, can you just go a little bit more in depth on what exactly it is. Kind of describe it in your own words to someone that, you know, might not know what it is.
Right. Yeah. So it is, it's a research model that was developed so that we could have, bring together other positive youth development models that have been around since the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Like every so often they come up with a new model, but this one kind of coalesces them all into one. And it's while it does have high research behind it, and you can use it in research journals, and professors are using it for their journals, it's also very accessible. And so it's something that we can use to roll out to volunteers, and we can use it to show the impact of how creating meaningful relationships at a young age and generating a spark of interest in 4-H and creating those relationships and engaging youth. All of those things are what we call the developmental context, and that really brings it together. It's easy. Those four words, sparks, belonging, relationships, and engagement, make it really easy for volunteers to understand, oh, I'm making an impact in this youth's life.
Help me out. Sparks?
Sparks, belonging, relationships, and engagement. So those are the first, those are the fundamental. That's the developmental context. That's what we call the soil. And we'll give you, there's a graphic. I don't know how to share a graphic. You got it. Okay. It's called the flower model. And that's the key. So if you can reach youth at any age, actually, we could develop a spark for you today, maybe, and you could go through this.
I'm
model.
Pretty sparky already.
But the goal with 4-H is to create those relationships and those sparks early, so that then as they progress through the program and as they get older, they start to thrive and they start to develop a growth mindset. They start to develop personal responsibility. And then by the time they are adults, they have these long-term outcomes that we can tie directly to their involvement in 4-H.
That is awesome. Kathleen, what do you think makes Thrive different from other youth development approaches maybe that you've seen or heard of or maybe even been involved with before?
Yes, I love this Thrive model, and it brings it all together, like Malia has said, and having that image of a plant. You know, we are agricultural based. It's the roots of where we started with 4-H back actually in my home county, Hamilton County in 1904. John Haynes started the 4-H program with 94 boys around corn, learning how to breed corn better than their parents, because we are all about some research information and understanding of our roots. And so this model, having a plant, kind of helps our volunteers and our youth be like, oh, I know how to plant a seed. And then you have to nourish that plant. And having over time, in a season of however long we have the youth in our 4-H program, it could be just a 6-hour workshop series, or it could be the 8-10 years that they're in 4-H for the long haul. We are developing that seed, and we may not get to see the final flower product until years later, but those are why we've continued on in our 4-H career, is to see that growth and having those growth mindset opportunities. I like this model, not only for visually, but we know that when we have that positive youth development, having that sense of belonging, having youth feel safe when they're with us, that security will help them understand that 4-H is a safe place to fail. And we need that. We need to have those environments that we can test and learn new things and know that, I don't know about you, but I learn more when I actually fail than when I actually do have some success. Like that's always good. That's what we strive for. But I actually learn
failing
more.
Forward.
That's right. Exactly. And let's fail quickly and let's learn from that. And this model helps not only guide the youth, but also help guide the caring adult that's coming along with that relationship, helping provide that content knowledge, helping guide them and kind of really putting that water on that plant throughout the cycle. And so that's what I really love about the Thrive model, mm-hmm. is having that positive youth development, thinking about the mastery, the independence, the generosity and civic engagement that we can bring through the 4-H programming.
So you ladies have been doing this Thrive model for a while now. Certainly there are some testimonials, there's some stories that may be stuck in your mind that you either heard of or have personally experienced. Talking to any one of you three, go ahead and just tell me a story of how this has really worked and come alive with the youth.
I can start.
Now all three of you.
Which one, the baking or the health council? I'll start with my health council. So, and this comes from a point of tragedy, but there were unfortunately some teens that died by suicide in Greene County, mm-hmm. and it really hit the community hard. And I had youth come to me wanting to know what to do. And at the time, I did not have a background in psychology. I was like, I'm not sure, but let's figure it out. And so was connected with some incredible individuals across several different organizations. But what we did, and we were it took us a while to get it off the ground, but we developed what was called the Greene County Youth Health Council. And it was very, very specific on how we set that up, in that it wasn't me going to every meeting going, okay, now we're going to do this and we're going to do this project and I'm going to tell you what to do. And we came in at our first meeting and we had 17 youth show up from 5 different school districts. And I introduced myself because some were 4-H members, but others were just other members of the community that had been recruited by either their guidance counselor or friends or they word of mouth. And so not everyone knew me in the room. And I introduced myself and I said, I'm here to facilitate. I am here to find resources that you need. I am here to be the safe adult. And I'm here to listen, but I'm not here to tell you what you're going to do. And I can honestly say if COVID hadn't happened, that group, like, they did fly. They flew. They did amazing things. They were crushed by COVID because they couldn't do the things that they were wanting to do. But we brought in subject matter experts. We brought in a class from IU in human development. We brought in all sorts of resources, and they were empowered to take that information and go with it. And we had 3 different classes of that, because obviously they're graduating. These were high school students. And so we had a couple of college students stick with us for a couple years. But we had 3 different classes, and each one, they got to pick their focus. They got to pick some focus strictly on mental health. Other groups saw that mental health was the larger umbrella, but it was the other underlying conditions of test anxiety, alcohol, drugs, all these other smaller things that they wanted to tackle. And through it all, it was their project. And I made it very clear that I was only here so that they could meet. Like, I was there for the insurance.
What a great way to introduce the Thrive concept to these young people.
And I run into them and they still talk about it, and they are all doing great things.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Carla, Kathleen, you got a better story than that, because that was pretty good.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. A recent one we had here is we needed more goat pens for our fairgrounds. And we actually had a local business, a welding business, who is very interested in fostering trades. And because they know they need workers as well as other places in the community. And they volunteered all the supplies. if we could get together some young people and adults to come to their shop and learn how to weld. And they did that over the winter. They welded goat pins, which we then are now using. And out of that, the company offered everyone who was 18 and above a job. And then we had one young person who took an internship with them. And many of the youth who decided to come, they just were coming to help with no intention that they would really fall in love with welding. So that was a cool example of seeing the spark in action and still using it and having a position and learning a trade and all of that in a very small amount of time. Normally it takes a lot of times, we just were talking about this morning, we don't necessarily see the petals on the flower in action. That sometimes happens in college or adulthood. So it's kind of neat when you get to see more of the flower stem, if you will, in action in young people.
Well, I guess you could say that organization was the GOAT.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break there. I'm going to shut it down right here for just a second. We're going to take a short commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about identifying sparks and putting Thrive into practice. So don't go anywhere. 4H4U will be right back.
The average American reaches for their mobile phone about 350 times a day. For Indiana farmers, that number is probably higher, as the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app keeps them updated on the latest markets, weather, and farm news information. If you haven't downloaded this free app, you're missing out on a powerful and portable resource. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app can be downloaded at the Apple Store and Google Play, and at HoosierAgToday.com. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
And we're back with 4H4U. I'm Greg Allen, talking the Thrive model with Carla Kidwell, Malia Huffman, and Kathleen Bodie. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me. So far, this has been just a really eye-opening experience here, finding out all of the things that we can learn about Thrive. So what strategies have you found to be most effective in helping youth identify and grow their sparks? We've been talking about sparks. What have you found that works best? We'll start with Kathleen. Helping, she hasn't talked for a while.
Yeah, I think helping youth understand all the different options that 4-H have. So thinking of the larger buckets of maybe STEM or civic engagement or healthy living, and then lead them through some activities, maybe at a club meeting or letting them see the project list. Many of us have over 60 project items that, in our county that they can explore, and then also know that, okay, after 1 year, I didn't enjoy that. That's okay. That's the power of learning. So having them do some hands-on activities, and that's what we're known for. We're learning by doing is our 4-H motto, and to make the best better. So we want to make sure that we're providing those educational workshops, those club meetings, having things that they can engage in that is not only community-based, but also resources that they can do at home, and helping the youth then explore if they do need some assistance in content, connecting that community. Just like Carla talked about, connecting with businesses, the power of 4-H is that we are local and we can network within our own community and help the youth be exposed to opportunities that a local parent cannot do on their own. So we're able to, if we learn about a youth really wanting to dive deep into something, they can, or they can stay at the surface level for a little while and learn more just about STEM in general and things like that. So that's the fun part, is help guide them. And as you have that youth adult partnership relationship build over the year, over the program, you can then help facilitate, like, hey, maybe if you're wanting to do a little more leadership or community development, we can provide opportunities to go to statewide programming, have them connect with some Purdue professors when we do 4-H Academy trips or our leadership weekends with junior leaders. There's a lot more than just that project and that manual that 4-H can provide.
Now, I'm certain in your time with doing this model, the Thrive model, you have come across your fair share of challenges. Kathleen, you just kind of mentioned one where it didn't seem like the spark really meshed with the certain individual and you had to pivot and go a different direction. What are some other challenges that have come up in putting the Thrive model into practice, and how have you worked through them?
Yeah, I would say sometimes when we're working with our volunteers and they have, at a club meeting or that they have a certain way that they like to do things, but understand, like Malia shared, the youth have to have that youth voice and helping. So helping our volunteers recognize the model and stepping back and being in that supportive environment, which they are always in good intentions or that, but sometimes we get in our own way of our youth. And so as we are doing volunteer development and talking about the Thrive model with our volunteers, helping them know that there were a support in the model, but we have to let the youth thrive and have that independence, have that growth mindset. And sometimes by taking a step back, which is hard sometimes, but that is the best for the youth that we're working with. So that has been some times where we have a little bit of rub, or why aren't they coming to a club meeting, or things like that. Like, well, have we asked them what they want? Have we helped bring them to the table when we're planning the year? Are we having the right activities at the county fair to help showcase those youth programs? Are we making sure that we're having that youth voice at all the different steps that we're planning our 4-H year?
So we've seen ways that Thrive has impacted youth engagement and confidence, leadership in the county and in your individual areas. Are there any other stories, any other ways that you've seen personally that Thrive has impacted youth engagement?
Carla, you want to talk about your volunteer training that went so well?
We all do trainings throughout the year, different topics, different amount of times. And when we have meetings, I usually do them. They roll their eyes and they're like, oh, great, another training that, Carla's giving us. But we have a short activity that introduces the model to them, and they loved it. It had the effect, like Kathleen mentioned, of them seeing, I've seen this happen with this person. I've seen this happen in this committee my 4-H club has. Some of them were in 4-H themselves, and they know I am in my career because I was in 4-H. So it just really came alive, and some of them back to theirs and did it with their older teens, which I didn't really expect either, but was super, super excited about. And we had another meeting with the board afterwards, and there was some overlap between the leaders and the board, and they're like, oh, can we do this again? Which, that never happens. So, they definitely can see the alignment very quickly. And I think that's what makes it work for all of us when we're starting to use the Thriving model in all the things we do.
That brings up a really good point, Carla. And I'm going to ask this question to Malia. What is one thing that Thrive has taught you about your own growth?
That it's a continual, I don't come into this job in a very linear fashion. I actually had a master's in architecture, and it just,
wow.
Okay. That's another story for another day.
Talk about a spark pivot.
Yeah, exactly. And it can happen at any time. It doesn't have to happen when you're 8. It can happen when you're in your 30s, and you do pivot, and you do, as long as you are open to that growth mindset and you are open to change and you are open to allowing for things to not be, like Kathleen mentioned, sometimes it's hard to get past, this is the way it's always been done. It was hard for me to accept that I wasn't going to follow my career trajectory of my 20s. It didn't happen. There was a recession, there were reasons. But that I was flexible, and that I have now having done this job for 13 years, I did pivot and I was able to grow and go from when I started this job, positive youth development, like I could infer what it meant because I was like, well, I know what positive means. I know youth is kids and we're developing. But now that has a whole deeper meaning for me. And so it's, I would definitely say, like, you can be sparked at any time. You can have you can develop new relationships at any time in your life. And so you can apply this model. Like it does work very well for positive youth development, but I think it also works well for I can see it in many different situations.
That's excellent. If you could give one piece of advice, because certainly this Thrive model is nothing new, and I'm certain that there are other organizations that maybe even look at this Thrive model to maybe incorporate into what they're doing. What is one piece of advice that you could or would give an educator that is starting to use this model, and what would that be?
I'll go and I'll let them, but listen and empower. If you can listen and really hear what the youth need, and then do everything in your power to empower them. Don't do it for them. Don't focus on the end result. Don't focus on the ribbon, but really empower them to grow. They're going to thrive. Like, even if it's like Kathleen mentioned, it might not be a project that they really got a lot out of. But if you're following that model of empowering their involvement and empowering their voice, even if it's not a project they like, they're going to get something out of it.
That's excellent. Okay, so let's talk about the future of Thrive. You guys have been doing this for a while now. You've seen how it works. You've seen how it can work. Where do you see it working in the next 5 years, next 10 years, down the road?
I think there will be, you know, additional research study on the Thrive model itself and giving us that data that we know internally, that we've witnessed the growth of our youth and our volunteers become a true youth and adult partnership in their adventure and in their learning, and just the power of belonging. A society of that sense of community is becoming even more valuable, that we know that in 4-H, we want all youth to belong and have that safe environment around them. And the research will show that we are help part of being that grounding so that youth can thrive in the future. So I'm excited for that next wave of data just to prove what internally we're witnessing, but we just don't have those numbers yet.
Well, ladies, I appreciate you talking Thrive with me today. Some great information. Happy to pass this along as well for anyone that doesn't even know what the Thrive model is or never even heard of it. Some fantastic things that you're doing through 4-H and the Thrive model. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to talk with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap on today's episode of 4-H for You. We hope you've come away with a better understanding of how the 4-H Thrive model is shaping confident, capable young leaders one spark at a time. Whether it's discovering a new passion, building lifelong skills, or finding a supportive community, 4-H isn't just about doing, it's about becoming. And that's what makes this movement so powerful. If you're already part of 4-H, we challenge you to keep leaning into your spark and helping others find their spark too. And if you're new to 4-H, check out your local extension office or visit 4-H.org to learn how you can get involved as a youth, a volunteer, or a supporter. Don't forget to subscribe, share this episode with someone who needs to hear it, and leave us a review. It helps more people discover the impact of 4-H. 4-H for You is a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension Podcast Network. We appreciate you joining us today. I'm Greg Allen. Thanks for watching, and until next time, keep growing, keep giving, and most of all, keep thriving.